Hello, everyone, and welcome to the public space, says Rodi Lacid. No. We are not doing the public space anymore. Landolt Guntram says more slaughtered and mutilated cat were found in Springfield just recently. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not baseless. It's not baseless, this idea. Oh, I was at the right volume, but... But as I start the show, suddenly the volume goes down. Yeah, it's not baseless. This whole idea of the cats being eaten by migrants. And this is what I want to talk about today, because that's a sign that the real discussion on the public space is not happening. And it's so sad. Because, okay, Trump comes out and he says... they eat the cats, they eat the dogs of the people that live there. Now the leftists, they come back and they say, no, it's not true. Migrants weren't eating the cats. And now you have to search and search. It seems like I did hear about a dead cat somewhere. And then you find, oh, well, it wasn't a migrant. It was an American black woman who ate the cat. And then you enter what people don't want to say about all this, which is Trump was true enough that, hey, if we get our own black people already eating cats here, do we want to import more of that? Do we want more Haitians? And then they show videos of Haitians, eating cats in their country. And then your brain does 1 plus 1 equals 2. Well, maybe it's a good idea not to import people coming from these countries. Maybe it's... But we can't have this discussion because the left only engages in... Oh, well, technically it's not true. Not a migrant. Well, okay. But, you know, I'm part of the same race. And now the left is gone. They don't want to talk about this because they know they lose on this subject. So it's fascinating because when you have the two sides of an issue not wanting to say the truth, this is what you end up with. Trump cannot come back and defend his claim and say, well, you know, they were of the same race. Maybe it's a bad idea to change the race of our nation, the majority demographics of our nation. That could be a very good defense. But Trump won't do it. Trump doesn't want to do it. So we end up with Trump is debunked. The debunk is false. The original statement is false. There would be good arguments to be had, but no one wants to talk about this, which is if you import people from Haiti, yes, there's going to be, I can bet you that there's going to be some cats dying out of people in poverty, psychotic, hungry. You're going to end up with a massive demographic and cultural problem in your nation. And it doesn't really matter that the one case that was exposed this week was turned out to be a crazy black woman. And when we talk about race trends, I've been thinking about morphogenetics, morphogenetic fields. So there is this concept in biology. You have a Drosophila, a fly, and they play with their genes, okay? And let's say we know that there's, I don't know, 10 different genes, and these 10 genes are somehow linked to the birth of the eye of the Drosophila. Now, they knock down one gene, the eye goes off. They knock down another gene, the eye goes off. These 10 genes, you knock them down one by one, and the eye of the Drosophila disappears. It's simply not activated during the development of the Drosophila. So you end up concluding, okay, these 10 genes are involved in eye formation. Now they start playing with this. Years ago, they started doing this. They started shutting down one gene, as you would expect, leading to the eye disappearing, but then turning on the other genes, amplifying them. And sometimes mixing in a totally new gene in to kind of replace the gene that was knocked off. And what they found is there are genes that you will knock them off, they will completely remove the eye. But if you boost the other genes around, the eye is going to come back in its full form. And geneticists who have tried to theorize on this, they came up with concepts of morphogenetic fields. Imagine that the eye wants to exist. So basically, morphogenetic fields are a little bit like having a belief that the eye must exist. Having a trend in the genome that every piece of this genome wants an eye to be there. And even if one of the normally necessary genes isn't there, it kind of wants still an eye to be there. And even if it's imperfect, it will try to, you will converge back very easily by simply balancing out with other genes that an eye will be born exactly at the same place you would expect an eye to be born. That's kind of a theory of the genome wants. The genome wants an eye to be there. Your genome as a human wanted an arm to be there. And it would work around, if you throw curveballs to the genome, it will try to catch them. And it will try to still have an arm because an arm is very important. So you end up with this concept that there's not a single gene that leads to your arm, but there's a morphogenetic field. There's a whole bunch of gene that wants your arm to exist. I'm mentioning this because I think we could apply this principle to race. Hear me out. And that sounds insane, but I think it's real what I'm about to say. I think there may be some people, they want shit on the street. And when they see a beautifully cleaned, brushed off street, they feel a deep lack inside. It's like, I want there to be shit on this street. I will try my very best in every possible way for there to be street shitting happening as soon as possible. And I believe that's kind of a social morphogenetic field. I believe that in the same way, a bunch of genes have evolved to want an eye to be there and to want your legs and to want your arms. I believe that there are certain groups that will systematically converge towards street shitting. And I say street shitting, I include also criminality, gangsterism, local warlords, drug, whatever. Wherever they see that there's no problem, they will cause problem. And I believe that's the heart of the thing that no one wants to say here. And we said in 2016, we said, if we don't start talking about race in a truthful manner in this country, we're going to be stagnating. We're going to be stagnating. And we are in this very stagnation right now where Trump is talking about race without mentioning it. The leftists are debunking his point about race without talking about race. And ultimately, it's what we're talking about. Should we import black people in America? Lendald Guntram says, JF discovering Neoplatonism directed by the genetic component on which Plato missed out, unfortunately. Yes, there is a form of idealism in the idea that not a single one of these genes is coding the eye, but that they all want an eye to happen. It's like the ideal forms of Platon. Chuck Garrity says, ultimately, it's a result of evolving in different geographical climates. It's dangerous to ignore this. Absolutely. Stephen Robinson says, I used to be a street shitter. Well, you know, you are in recovery. You are you have shown yourself to be capable of civilized behavior. Cassandra McDonald announces the birth of two twins, little babies, wonderful, good job, Cassandra, continuing the reproduction of the white race. There's all sorts of memes emerging around the cats and the dogs.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
People of Springfield, please don't eat my cats. Why would you do that? Eat something else. People of Springfield, please don't eat my dog. Here's a catalog of other things to eat.
They're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. The people that live there, they're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Very good music. You know, at this point, they can produce the music is already produced. It's automated. They even adjust the melody of the singing, so you can sing whatever, and the machine will just put it at the right notes. That is pop music, a product of pop music, this voice adjuster that he was using. It's the current state of music production. This girl explains why she divorced, but it's not an explanation at all.
The reason why I knew I needed to get a divorce was because I have a crystal clear memory of me having sex with my husband and thinking about this other guy and me knowing in that moment I have to divorce him because if I don't get out of this marriage, I'm going to cheat on him. I'm going to try to find this. And I know that's really...
You are ugly and fat and valueless. Your pursuit of an alternative dream will be completely punished. You will get nothing and you will end up alone. Why destroy your fucking marriage? Oh, well, it's because I saw it in my head. I wanted to try to get better. It was crystal clear. Holy shit. That's why we need to legislate the woman question. It's because you just need to make it illegal. Their decision making is... Sweden agrees to pay migrants up to $34,000 to repatriate to home countries. I don't know what to think about this. I think it's great if it can restore the demographic direction of Sweden toward whites, but it's a little late. And at the same time, why give money? Shouldn't it be white people that get money for the damages that they had to endure? I mean, if you're going to dump the person in another country, do you really need to give them money? Just dump them and give the money to someone in Sweden. But, you know, it's a start, and we were talking about these things. It's amazing that in the blood sports era, you know, there were extremists who were coming on the show, and they were like, we need to repatriate. We need to give a check, and we kick them out, and you get bonus money so that you don't do too much trouble as we kick you out. And it's now policy in Sweden. That's 8 years distance between the moment it was an extremist. Like, I don't even remember the name. Who was this woman? She was cool. She was super based. There's some woman who was showing up in the blood sports days. I mean, maybe some of you are old enough to remember. Who was this, like, racist, ultra-base woman? She was coming onto our streams and she was like, we need to send them all back. If someone can pull the name of this woman, I'll be giving you much credit because... Wow, this woman totally exited my mind. I don't remember what was her name. Wasn't she English? No, not SPQR. SPQR was a later audience member of mine, but I'm talking Warski Live Days. She was a guest. She was a guest on these streams. It wasn't Philosophy Cat. It was... She was an English woman. She disappeared from the... Tara! End of the line, Joel says Tara. Yes, her name was Tara. Tara who? It was Tara something, wasn't it? Oh my God, she was... No, not Laura Thaler. Her name was Tara, I remember. Tara... But she didn't... Tara McCarty. Wow, man, you are... End of the line, Joel, you are... You are the archivist of the internet. Tara McCarty. She was kind of a lolcow to the extent that she was overly... She was ridiculously racist. She was coming on streams and she was like... They really have to all to go back. And she was defending her point. We were putting her in debates. Wow, Tara McCarty. What happened? Whatever happened to Tara McCarty? Where is she? We don't get these. Where are they now? Little videos. I would love to... Is she hot? I don't remember. Was Tara McCarty hot? I don't think she was hot like... 10 out of 10 current hot. But I think she was just a beautiful woman. Just maybe an 8 out of 10 if I remember. Rodi Lacid says she was ahead of the curve because Trump has said that now in rallies. Well, Tara McCarty was defending this in 2016. Now it's Sweden. Yeah, people are saying probably in prison. She's probably in prison. In the UK. But in any case, her policies have now been adopted by Sweden. I mean, it's something. Canada and the United Kingdom announced support for Ukraine using long-range missiles to strike inside Russia. That is ridiculous. So now, because I'm a Canadian, I have to consider the possibility that Russia's first nuclear strike wouldn't be on the US, it would be on Canada. Because now Canada is making itself the proxy of the US because Ukraine needed these missiles with intelligence and satellites and coaching. And of course the US doesn't want to start a... doesn't want to make it evident that they are starting World War III. I think they do want to start World War III. So now they're using Canada as a proxy. But now, what does that mean? Can there be a bombing, a surprise bombing by Putin? Can it end up on me? Thankfully, I live far from main centers, main city centers. So presumably, I've calculated that before a nuclear bomb is targeted on my house, there would be probably 400 different targets before that, at least. Like, they would start with New York, they would go to Montreal, they might blow up San Diego. Before it gets to me, I think I have some time. But you never know, maybe Putin is going to say, fuck it, I'm shooting straight for JF. Oh, yeah, Tara McCarty. Someone has sent me a picture of her. Yeah, I thought she was blonde. Tara McCarty. Yeah, an 8 out of 10. Just okay looking. She was a very early internet racist. Fresh and Fit podcast suspended on Twitch without cause. This channel is unavailable due to a violation of Twitch community guideline. Yeah, I mean, I don't know to which extent they were needing Twitch anymore. When you maintain a Twitch with a Rumble, you're going to get most crowds on Rumble. And when you get into the subjects they got into, it's inevitable that you will disappear from Twitch. Trump got lumered in the bedroom. people are developing rumors because Trump is hanging out publicly with Laura Loomer, kind of holding her by the hips, by the belly. And, you know, there is this very sexual tension that develops when you're in a political or public kind of setting and you have your chief of staff and it's a woman always and you're a man always, and there's this sexual tension that develops that's almost inevitable. There will be intense sex between a public personality and a kind of female manager. And it seems that Laura Loomer has been hired by Trump to redirect his campaign. And people are worried. They are saying, Melania, come get your husband. Not sure if Melania is that interested in keeping exclusivity of Donald Trump. It seems that Melania, her goal is mostly to raise their children, to raise their child, Baron. And I don't think she wants exclusivity from Trump, but maybe she does. Rodi Lacid says, Loomer will become Trump's Israeli handler. That is my fear. That is my fear. But look at the difference. So basically what Loomer came to do, I mean, I think she's going to leverage Israeli power, and that is extremely worrying. But she's trying to make a cosmetic change to Trump so that Nick Fuentes will accept stopping Groiper War, basically, so that the forces of the internet show themselves satisfied by Trump. It's interesting what she's done, because look at the words that Trump now uses. This is a different Trump than 2 days ago.
And illegal Haitians, and he came in, illegal Haitian migrants taking over a beautiful place. It was so beautiful. Springfield, Ohio. I was there. I campaigned there a while ago. Springfield, it was so beautiful. Now it's just, what a place. Can you imagine? You have this small little community. All of a sudden, you have 20,000 illegals in your community. Nobody knows where they come from. I'm angry about young American girls being raped and sodomized and murdered by savage criminal aliens.
This is the Loomer contribution. Trump was tired of illegal migrants. Now he's tired of illegal migrants raping and sodomizing our daughters. The cosmetic change, ladies and gentlemen. Did he have to include sodomizing? Is that like a specific problem? Is that the kind of rape that the Asian goes for? I don't know. I find it hilarious because it is truly just aesthetic. We don't have a change in program here. We just have more aggressive words that have been whispered by Laura Loomer. So Laura Loomer is kind of bringing a Jewish racist infusion into this campaign. And inevitably, it's going to turn against Muslims. Inevitably, it's going to turn against Iran. This is where I expect the Israeli subversion to happen. But for now, I mean, it's the right direction. Does it satisfy me? Not so much. Because even if Trump says we're going to start the deportation proceedings in Ohio, there will be no one left to deport. As I've said, as I've made the case in the modern day debate, Biden will amnesty everyone. Biden will amnesty everyone that he can. And so by the time Trump makes it into office, if he is elected, he's not going to have any power to designate them as illegal because they will have been legalized effectively by Joe Biden. So I don't know that anything changes here except the aesthetics of the campaign, which is a start. It's a start. I like it. I'd like to see where that goes. I think it's the right direction to an extent. Now, CNN have noted that Laura Loomer is now in the surrounding of Trump, and so they pulled this it piece on Laura Loomer. Let's see what they... And we have Laura Loomer with Nick Fuentes.
This is far-right activist Laura Loomer and white nationalist Nick Fuentes cheering to...
to the hostile takeover of the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
And they're not wrong. Both met...
to the hostile takeover of the Republican Party, and they're not wrong.
Personally with Donald Trump. I first met Loomer in 2017 at an event for Manosphere influencer Mike Cernovich. At the time, Loomer was an activist who'd celebrated the deaths of Muslim migrants.
Wow, Laura Loomer blonde. Are you old enough to remember Laura Loomer like this?
But she was being harassed by white nationalist trolls because she's a Jewish woman. Since then, she's taken a strange trajectory, with years somewhat in obscurity because she'd been banned from so many social media sites, like Twitter. When Elon Musk took over Twitter, she came back. She does stunts like ambush interviews.
Frank, why aren't you supporting President Trump? I'm a successful investigative journalist.
If you have to say it, it's not true. I'm a successful investigative journalist.
Loomer recently told CNN she's not anti-Muslim. Now, some might dispute that she's entered the mainstream, but she's reached the former president's elite inner circle. Flying to the presidential debate on Trump's plane, and to New York as he observed the anniversary of 9/11. A notable appearance since Loomer has pushed the false conspiracy theory that 9/11 was an inside job. She's been seen with Trump a lot.
We're here at Bedminster. I'm with the greatest president ever.
After rumors circulated among right-wing Twitter users, including Loomer, that Haitian immigrants are eating people's pets in Ohio, Trump repeated the claim in the debate.
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in.
I spoke to Loomer before the debate. She told me she's attacked as a childless woman who devotes all her time to a man who will never...
See, that was the place where they took a picture, very reproached, with Trump with his hand around her waist.
Pay attention to her, meaning Trump. But Trump does pay attention to her.
You know, Laura Loomer is dedicated enough, I believe, to the Republican Party and right-wing ideas to just suck Trump's dick as part of this kind of inflammation of sexual tension. I believe that she has it in her to totally just provide sex to Trump for the purpose of elevating his alpha status and giving him the courage and energy that he needs for the rest of the campaign.
And reads her reports.
Laura, how are you? You look so beautiful, as always. You don't want to...
There's a love story here. You look so beautiful as always.
Be loomered. If you're loomered, you're in deep trouble.
If you got loomered, you're in deep trouble.
Trump. Good morning, everybody. My name is Laura Loomer.
She ran for Congress twice and lost. But she told me she built a constituency among the very pro-Trump voters in the Villages, a retirement community that's important in Florida Republican politics. She called them Boomers for Loomer.
Boomers for Loomers.
And they were paying attention when she began attacking Governor Ron DeSantis for having the temerity to run for president against Trump.
You are never going to be president of the United States of America.
Okay, so all eyes are on Laura Loomer. CNN wants to soil her name and present her as the far-right contribution to Trump's campaign. But it's still very much Israeli. We're still talking about an Israeli subversion of the Trump campaign. But at least Laura, I know that she understands these questions enough that perhaps even her, she's able to put Trump into a more fighting mode and Trump into a less kneeling to Israel mode. But that is a lot to demand from a Jew, you know. Basically, I am demanding that Laura Loomer be empathetic enough to the non-Jewish position on Jews and Jewish power in America so that maybe she can communicate it, perhaps even if unintentionally, she could put Trump in that mode. Charlie Kirk and his interaction with leftist
little human being.
His smile is very creepy.
The leftists are body shaming Charlie Kirk for his smile. I mean, yeah, it's a weird smile. Charlie Kirk has always had a very weird face. Very mimetic face. It's very easy to turn this face. You can inflate it with AI, and it leads to memes very easily.
His smile is very creepy. Okay.
Smiling is creepy?
No, your smile specifically.
Got it.
But
maybe there... is that some sort of condition? I mean... your teeth are misaligned here. There's like 1 inch of your teeth are 1 inch too low. Basically, I see your denture here. It's like your denture fell.
But
little human being.
His smile is very creepy. Okay.
Smiling is creepy?
No, your smile specifically.
Got it.
But
maybe it's a condition. I don't know. I'm not an expert of dentistry. Gang members in Houston steal from kids that were selling water. This is where the morphogenetic field happens. Here you have a bunch of black guys. They're already being annoying because they're selling bottles of water to in an unsolicited manner. Now, they end up trying to sell to a bunch of gang members that are more violent than themselves. And so the gang members collect the money that they had made with their water bottle sales.
Man, you four black niggas from a hoe.
All over, nigga. All over, nigga. Crip, hurry up, nigga.
You a hoe, nigga.
You a pussy ass,
nigga.
So now they're losing all of the money they had generated by selling water bottles.
And this murder gang's happening in, nigga. And Ted Twin.
What's the matter about fuck?
Hey,
lift your jacket up real quick.
Can you lift your shit up if I switch to you right
now? Hey, lift your jacket up.
Crib,
hey, lift your jacket up, nigga.
Man, lift that shit up, bitch. Hey,
you got
y'all niggas some broke ass.
Nah, like
I'ma kill you next time I see you.
Let me catch you no more. All that bumping on the ass. Hey, come here. Come here. Give me a cigarette.
All right. Well, you can't avoid. This is what happens when you have a certain percentage of a demographic. Wealth redistribution. Rodi Lacid says, wealth redistribution, they are learning about communism. Yeah, and eventually, if you live by theft, eventually there's nothing left to steal and everything becomes shit. That's the morphogenetic field of why any African countries ultimately sucks, and any place outside the West ultimately comes to suck. It's because it slides down very quickly. You don't need all of the genes. You don't need everyone to be violent. All you need is a little thievery, a little lack of enforcement, a little trend toward the, oh, well, I'm not going to be driving a beautiful car because it's going to get stolen anyway. And things become crappier and crappier until nothing is left that's interesting to steal. Marjorie Taylor Greene says she is completely denouncing Laura Loomer. This girl is all over the place. Wasn't she at some point a guest speaker on the list, at least, of Nick Fuentes? And she canceled it or whatever.
And this is such an important election. I don't think that she has the experience or the right mentality to advise a very important president.
Why do you think the former president is even listening to her? She's getting bad advice, or he's getting bad advice from us.
I'm not involved in their conversations, so I can't weigh in on that. But I do know this, that her rhetoric and her tone is does not match the base, does not match MAGA, does not match most Republicans I know.
If anything, Laura Loomer is good for her tone. What's worrying about her is that she's an Israeli agent, but the tone that she can induce in Trump is perfect. Trump talks about Elon Musk and people having businessmen having to leave California because of the leftism.
Votes are not counted honestly. It's a very dishonest system that you have in California. And I'd make it business friendly. Right now it's business unfriendly. Look, Elon Musk is a friend of mine. He endorsed me very powerfully. He endorses me every time he speaks. He really wants to see us win because he knows we can do a great job and turn it around. He left California. I said to him, Elon, did anybody ever call you? It's a big company. He moved to Texas. A lot of people moving to Texas. Great state. Excellent governor and excellent lieutenant governor. Great people. They love entrepreneurs. They love the people that live there. They want to keep their taxes low. Taxes are way too high here. But I said to Elon, so you have a big company and you're moving it to Texas from California. Did anybody call you, like the governor, to try and get you to stay? No. Did anybody see you, write a letter, do anything to try and keep you to stay? You have thousands of jobs. He said, nobody ever called. There'd be so many things you could do. This would be the easiest place to turn around if they knew what to do. Look at it. I mean, look at the weather. We're standing out here on the Pacific Ocean in the most beautiful weather. A lot of states don't have weather like this.
Extremely sad what's happening to California because, yes, indeed, the paysage, the environment itself is not bad. It's just the people. The leftists in California are wasting it, but it has a natural scenery. There's no reason it couldn't be a right-wing state. Silver Spider says, how would a leftist see that video? The blacks are only robbing each other because of white privilege. It's a little bit what we're getting from Sneeko, and that's why I need to talk about Sneeko today. Sneeko has been in a confrontation with the gripers on the internet. So Sneeko has made a collab with Nick Fuentes a few months ago. They appeared on a few clips and streams together. So that was kind of a rapprochement between the far right, white far right, if you will, and a Sneeko who is a more of a political normie, but a Muslim one. And well, I didn't know, but he's not only Muslim, but his father is also a Haitian, a black Haitian. So he's basically a mixed race, semi-black Muslim with a Haitian dad. And even if he's not lived in Haiti as a child, he's basically a child of the U.S., he's longing for Haiti and he's respecting this country, perhaps from a kind of genetic mal de pays, which is someone gave me the English term for mal de pays, but I lost it. It was in the regular chat. But this kind of nostalgia that you can feel for your country. Now, Haiti is not the country of Sneeko, but he seems to be depressed by the fact that people are mocking this country. And this is going to happen no matter what. It doesn't matter. Homesickness would be the term in English. So homesickness means mal du pays. No matter how good of a life you give to minorities, they will always long for this other world that they left. And they don't even need to have seen that other world. I've known people who genetically were coming from Iran, but they were raised in Quebec all of their childhood, all of their life. They still were dreaming to go back to Iran, no matter how shit of a nation it is. You can't help this. There is a homesickness that is genetic. And again, it's the morphogenetic field ID. It's like no matter what you plug in terms of wealth, well-being, liberty, you give them a lot, you know, they inherit, they get a lot from making this change from a third world nation to a first world nation. But still there is something that calls them back to this lifestyle. As the genes wanted a Drosophila eye to exist, the genes in your genome wanted an arm to exist on your shoulder. The genes of the Haitian want him to go back to street life and to try to catch twerking bitches on the streets. Night King says, it's not shameful to feel this way. I respect that. I respect it, but you need to understand it. And basically, it brings us back to Tara McCarty, because she understood this, that there will never be recognition for what we give to migrants. There will never be. They'll be thankful. Oh yeah, it's cool. Oh, yeah, I did have an opportunity. But in the end, they will always feel like they don't belong. And to the extent that they stay, it will always be because it's better for them. It will always be a decision of their brain and not a decision of their heart. There will never be a full abandonment of who they feel they are. And that is not you. That is not Western civilization. Lendolt Guntram says, morphogenetic fields calling them back home. Holy moly, it works. It does. It does. Now, the problem is, of course, they won't go back home. The calculation is never there. It's never a pragmatic thing to do. So they might try sometimes to travel back home just for 2 weeks. To get that kind of homesickness satisfaction of their homesickness. But the reality is, SNCO does not belong in Haiti. And I was joking. I was saying, another anthropologist about to be eaten alive in a quest to prove racism wrong. Look at SNCO. I mean, soon people will know the truth about the beautiful country of Haiti. Careful, SNCO. Is he thinking about going there to film? You're going to get killed, SNCO. You don't belong in Haiti. Sorry to say, but I mean, if you want to go there and get killed, you know, I respect your liberty. So SNCO doesn't understand why. So the whole conflict with the Griper movement started when he started debunking the whole cat and dog idea. He said, hey, Trump said a falsehood. Trump said they eat the dogs, they eat the cats. It's not true, because it wasn't the Haitian migrant that ate the cat. It was a random black woman who was crazy. And she's an American citizen. Now, I want to tell SNCO, when you already getting into this discussion without acknowledging the truths of race, without acknowledging the fact that we are inviting into America people who will act and look like the same race that was eating cat. But leaving all of that aside, if you just separate between migrants and black American citizen and you don't see the racial connection there, you're already in a woke mindset. See, that's a category that the left has in their brain. What allows them to debunk Trump and say Trump is totally wrong when he says this? It's because they have this category, black American citizen versus Haitian migrant. Not the same thing. So you cannot accuse the Haitian migrant of something because it's a black American citizen. Now, in a racial view of the world, what you can say is certainly, well, we wouldn't want to invite more of this. We wouldn't want to invite more of the problems that come with having a change of demographics to America. So that's the first thing that I would say to SNCO. Yes, you are trending woke. Yes, you are going toward a non-racial and leftist view of the world. Now, let's see what he has to say here in this 3 minutes video.
You are. America's not your blood. It's a place you were born in with.
See, already, that's also leftist. The Gripers are correct. This is leftist thinking. To think that Americanism or America is not a race, it's just an ID. That's Ben Shapiro, that's civic nationalism, that's what all the normies want you to think. The reality is, whenever you have a nation, you have a genetic nuclei of people that will reproduce together more. So America is a race. It's a race in becoming, if you want to say it that way. It's a multitude of races, each of them isolated through their own segregation mechanism. But yes, a proposition nation, it is not a proposition nation. Simply by the fact that people reproduce within it more than they reproduce across it, that means it's a group. It's a legitimate biological subpopulation of the human species.
Borders. Yes, we should not have illegal immigration here. People that miss...
See, illegal immigration. That is not America first thinking. America first takes issue with immigration. If you feel the need to add illegal immigration, you're into the Trump category, you're into the leftist, you're into everyone who wants to continue the change of the American demographics.
That went over everybody's head. They think because I'm calling out the lie about the cat eating that I'm woke now. No.
Well, it's not the fact that you called the lie. It's what you say in the process and the kind of subliminal beliefs that you express in the process. So to be fact-checking Trump, I even did it. I said, hey, as far as I know, that's false. I don't think that the Asian migrant ate a dog. Or I have heard the claim, but I have been waiting for solid evidence and I've not yet seen it. But what you expose in the process, Nico, is you are not just making a fact check. You are subscribing to deeply leftist beliefs. That's why we're alarmed.
Back ass back to Team Red Pill. Zerka's my enforcer. Me and Zerka are dragging you back to Team Red Pill because it's getting a little too woke.
So, okay. If Team Red Pill is shilling for white people that care more about their skin color than their faith, then it's for you.
Well, that is a deal breaker statement by Sneeko. Sneeko, I don't think you believe. I don't think you belong. I mean, I don't want to speak because I'm not an authority of the America First movement in any way. But I'm an observer, and I'm a very good observer of it across the years. And I don't think you belong in America First. You just said if your race is important to you more than the IDs, then I don't belong in it. Well, you don't. You don't because of the morphogenetic field ID, really, applied to race, which is America First believes that if you were to import 95% of the population, you were to import so many blacks that you were to make America 95% black, it would inevitably crumble, no matter the subscription to belief, no matter the proposition of the Constitution, no matter even if you coach and train these black people to think Republican as much as you can, it will always converge back to its natural state. And the natural state will look something like Haiti, Africa, that kind of stuff. Same with Indians. If you invite enough Indians that they have enough control on the society to control its direction, you're going to end up with something that looks like India. If you don't believe this, if you have been so charmed by this kind of religious conception of everyone who accepts Islam is a Muslim, everyone who accepts God is Jesus is a Christian, I think you're going to have a problem, and you don't belong in America First for sure.
And then there's a divide, because I believe
there is a divide. I think going forward, you should just continue. You know, you're free to comment and continue being you, being yourself, and perhaps see even America First as allies of yours. But you do not belong in this group because you have a refusal to see the world from a racial perspective.
I believe if you believe in God, you're my brother.
Well, I mean, and consider how he says it. If you believe in God, you're my brother, and he's a Muslim. So he's saying that he considered the America First bases as being their brothers, even if they believed in Jesus Christ. And so he has a conception that is so open and broad of religion that he considers the Christian God close enough to his Muslim faith that at least if they believe in something, they are my brothers. That is so inclusive that it cannot be America First. And in fact, it's barely even Islam. I think Sneeko has his own version of a liberal open mind going on here. It's not Christianity, it's not America First, and it's not even Islam. Here you have basically a spiritual view of, well, if you can submit in front of an invisible authority of any kind, you are my brother. John Garas says he's not my brother, maybe a very distant cousin.
That's where the unity really is. If we have a similarity in faith, not whiteness, not skin color.
And this is exactly why I said years ago, Christian nationalism, ideologically, just purely thinking Christianity saves you and that's enough and the Bible is enough, is leading you astray. It's not a good path if you don't think you need some support from observations of the behaviors of the races. In other words, Christianity without racism is bound to fail. And to make my point of this years ago, I made a show in which I look at Christian nations in Africa, where 95% of the people are Christians. And what you see in terms of behavior there is exactly what you would see in the countries that are just beside and that are non-Christian. Christianity in and of itself and the profession of belief in Jesus Christ is not enough. You have to have a conception that within Christianity, there are people who are incapable of adopting the morals. There are people who will say that they adopt the morals, but they don't. And I would say the Bible is very weak on this. The Bible, I've been researching during this afternoon. I was like, is there anything in the Bible that says warnings about too much inclusivity on the side of race? And there's not much things. It seems that the Bible is mostly calling for an openness of the kind that Sneeko is calling for here. So a form of weakness, a form of liberal weakness in the face of racial diversity. But yeah, if the gripers, if their goal is Jesus Christ, belief in Jesus Christ and salvation, as stated ideologically and accessible to all races, then you could say that the gripers are the most successful in their Christian nationalism in whatever, Gabon or whatever, one of these African countries where 95% of the people are Christians. If all you care about is profession of the belief, then by this standard, Christian nationalism has had its greatest success in Africa. Of course, if you want a more informed view of the world, you have to integrate facts about race and the recognition that Christianity and the profession of belief in and of itself will not suffice to determine all behaviors, and that ultimately we are determined importantly by our genes, by the direction that our genes make society take, by the direction that our genes push society toward.
If you find brotherhood there, if that's where you see allegiance, then that's not red pill to me.
Well, and see now, okay, so you're not America First, you're red pill. Well, you can't be red pilled if you're not red pilled about race. And I'm not hearing any racial genetic determinism coming from you. There must be some. To me, the red pill philosophy includes red pilling about race. Now, you can have a version of it that would be blind to it, but to me, that would be incomplete.
That's not red pill to me. Because if I was Christian and I saw what was happening in Haiti, I'd be calling out that lie as well. Because those are your Christian brothers.
So he's calling for solidarity with the Haitian migrant because they are your Christian brothers. This is exactly the kind of mentality that leads a nation to open. And Philippe Fabry, in his book that I translated, History of the Next Century, he said that one of the great weaknesses of the Catholic Church is that it's so interested at world domination in terms of expanding its user base, if you will, that it will open itself to anything. That basically because Catholicism wants to be so universal, it will accept into its ranks basically anything, and it will be too soft. And by becoming too soft, it will be becoming more meaningless. I believe that what Sneeko is calling for here is exactly this. It's a moral code that is so soft that it becomes meaningless because it has a trade-off between acceptance and openness versus imposition, and it takes the acceptance direction.
And I think that says that in the Bible. I think Jesus would want you to do that.
On this, I think that Sneeko is right. Looking for Bible sources this afternoon, it does seem that the Bible calls for a kind of universalist, anti-racist view of the world. And James may be right here. James, who joins us very often in the Patreon hangout, and he's been making a couple of shows, co-hosting a couple of shows recently with me. When James says that inside Christianity there might have been this kind of Achilles heel of weakness, certainly on the question of race, it seems that it's the case. White nationalist says Christ stated he came only for the lost house of Israel. Okay, interesting. Black Pigeon Pill says the only pro-white forms of Christianity I know are strange sects like British Israelism or white identity, which strike me as absolute poison. Okay, but even if all the sects that exist could be wrong or could be bad, I think that a combination of implicit race-based view of the world with Christianity is basically what we had in America going for decades and decades. And it was working. It maintained Western Europe. It seems, though, that Christianity wasn't properly guarded against demographic change.
If you put your skin color ahead of your faith, you're not a follower of Jesus. You're following the same ideology of the people that you blame for everything.
So here's Nico is saying you're being a Jew. You're being a Jew to Nick Fuentes. You're being a Jew because you have put race before religion. First, I don't know that Nick Fuentes has put race before religion. I believe that Nick Fuentes is first and foremost a Catholic. And then he is someone who believes in racial truths. So I think that this critique would be kind of exaggerated toward Nick. When he says the people you criticize for everything, definitely he means the Jews. So he's saying basically you have abandoned the ideology, the civic nationalism of Christianity for a racial nationalism of Christianity. I don't think that's the case, because I think first and foremost, and Nick Fuentes, I don't know that he's racist. You know, one of his best friends is Ten Rio, and he collaborates with black men. I don't know that he's as racist as it is made out to be. I think that, in fact, he believes that black people can join the Catholic Church. So he hasn't put the Catholic Church second here. But he's saying, let's not ignore the facts of race.
He's gone full blue pill. He's so based, then we start shitting on Haitians, and it's like, whoa, 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 you're a white supremacist. And then he said, it's based that the Haitians killed all the white people on the island.
Very good reminder by Nick that, hey, we're talking about a place where there were white people, they were genocided. They were killed in place or scared so that they had to flee the island. So Haiti is in the condition that black people dream of when they see white people. They want less of them. And that's what they got in Haiti. So it gives us kind of a preview of what would happen to other territories conquered by blacks.
That's not based. Yeah, they killed all the white people. Then they fucked up everything. Based, they said. And then they took a bite out of a cookie made out of dirt.
Because there's no food there.
And see, Sneeko goes back to leftism. They're eating dirt cookies. Well, it's because there's no food there. And someone was raising on Twitter today, how the heck is there no food in on an island that is surrounded by fish, that has a 365 days growing season? How is there no food in Haiti? How is this possible? Jeremy Kaufman was publishing this meme. Why don't the Haitians have any food? Who is stopping a tropical island nation with a 365-day growing season surrounded by fish from having food? And we're back to the morphogenetics of race. It seems that wherever you seed white people, they seed carrots and potatoes, and doesn't matter if you drop them in the north of Canada or on an island called Ireland or in Siberia or somewhere in Russia or in Australia, in fact. Wherever you seed black people, food appears. It's like, wherever you seed white people, food appears. It's like their genes want the food to be there. And whenever you seed black people, there ends up being dirt cookies. That is an observation of the world that we've been trying to bring, and we've been trying to study the consequences of it, but no one wants to do it.
I mean, there's no access to food there.
Access to food. What's the access to food of the Irish? What's the access to food of people, white people on an island? What was the access to food of the Australians? They all built worlds in which they could cultivate their own food.
I'm not taking out all the accountability for the problems that are...
So see, you're in a mentality of entitlement of the blacks toward white society, toward white presence. You are saying not only... is it based that the blacks have claimed the ownership of Haiti and kicked the white people out? They are also entitled to deliveries of food, to access to food. But white people don't access food, they produce it.
That are in Haiti, yeah, there's problems that are internal. And third world countries...
problems that are internal, i.e. genetic.
Like that, whoever gets in charge, they take advantage. They've been taken advantage of so many different times by different leadership, by dictators, by the Clinton Foundation, by the French government.
Victimization. Were the Irish taken advantage of? Of course. White populations have been taken advantage of by all of the networks that you just named, plus more.
And yeah, a lot of it has to do with Haitians themselves. I'm not taking away any accountability.
Yeah. So it's not so much the accountability that we care about. It's the genetic reality. Do you acknowledge the genetic reality?
Never have I said that. But to make fun...
Do you acknowledge that it's not particularly surprising where Haiti is at right now? Do you acknowledge that, in fact, not only is it not surprising, it had to be that way. It had to be that way. It had to end up that way.
In front of people who don't have food right now, these kids who are eating dirt cookies because they have no other help, because you're the Christian brothers that live so close to the country, instead of giving aid or, you know.
Oh, we've tried aid. often, and aid is a big poison. See, white populations don't need aid. White population give aid. And what they do by giving aid is actually making the situation worse, because it leaves these populations in a state of dependence. All of this, yes, Nature's Dude says libtard take. That is all the basic leftist talking points. So Sneeko is just a black leftist. He's a Haitian Muslim black leftist.
Giving something to donate, they're quick to tweet about a lie, about a cat eating lie.
Well, okay. The fact check was warranted. I will grant you that. The fact check was warranted because Trump wasn't fully precise in his explanation. But he can't be precise. Notice, I have to be on Odyssey to even talk about these truths. To talk about the fact that if you invite more black people in your immigration policy, your nation will be more black and it will act more black. And doesn't matter whether they are professing belief in Christianity, Muslim, or whatever, they will act black.
That's not what Jesus would teach.
Speaking base.
Maybe he's right on this. And that's why I've always said Jesus itself is not enough. You also need to look at the world of facts. And the facts of race are important.
Based cannibal in a MAGA hat killed the slave, just like Django. Yeah, except they can't read and they eat mud. Fucking based. It was based. They killed all the white people, then they ruined everything. Now they eat dirt.
Well, look at this. If you're going to, we were both on Ye 24. You remember what Ye said? That slavery was a choice for the.
And here we have Sneeko appealing to Ye. And this is the problem with the dilution of the message. And Nick Fuentes should be careful about this. I mean, I don't blame him, but the more he's been hanging out and the more he's been extending and broadening his reach with these adventures with Ye, Sneeko, now you have Sneeko quoting Ye as a kind of America First authority. But Ye is a psychotic leftist clown that has been entertaining on the Jewish question, and it was kind of fascinating to see him that in that direction, but he's in no way an authority on the question of what makes you compatible with America First or not, or the Groypers in general. I don't even know. Is Ye aware of what's a griper?
For the Haitians, slavery was definitely a choice. They decided, I don't want to be enslaved anymore, and they said no.
So now Sneeko is appealing for us to consider the Ye position, that basically the Haitians are the black people who have chosen to liberate themselves from slavery. Okay, but now we see what the Haitians can do without slavery, and it's not beautiful.
Did it go the way it was supposed to go? Is it a successful nation? Absolutely not.
Well, there you go. Why is it not a successful nation? Because of racial realities.
But then we can't call out the victim mentality of blacks in America and blacks in other nations where they're still enslaved mentally. We should respect the people that decided to go and fight back. Because if the
there's a difference between fighting for your rights and genociding all the people of a skin color on your island. What the Haitians have done is the latter, not the former. They have genocided the whites. They have ordered their killing. They have pursued their killing. And whoever didn't flee in time was killed. Until there was not a single white person left.
Same thing happened in America. What we're doing right now, trying to get Israel out of American policy, that's the same thing. We're trying.
Oh. And this is where, you know, to a point, you diversify your movement in a meaningless way. In the same way, Catholicism is being diversified when it's brought into South America and Africa. There's only so much you can do with diversification because you inevitably dilute yourself. And here you have the standing example. Sneeko saying, hey, the Asians getting rid of white people who were the evil slave owners is just the same that you're trying to do with Israel in the U.S. Wow. Basically claiming that the current state of whites in the U.S. is Jewish enslavement. Where do we begin? Well, here's the thing. If Israel power was out of the U.S., I would suspect that the U.S. will be doing better than it's currently doing. I believe that the country would be more beautiful, more powerful, more wealthy, more good to live on basically 10,000 different measures that we could discuss. That is not the case when we talk of Haiti. When we talk of Haiti, we talk of a situation that got worse. So you have the difference here between a parasitic class that makes your life better, which we could call a symbiotic class, and a parasitic class that makes your life worse, which is a parasitic class. So extreme confusion in the discourse of Sneeko. And for him to say, I'm going to expose the truth about Haiti, the beautiful country of Haiti. Well, good luck, Sneeko. You're taking a risk with your life. And your death might very well be the fact that ends up proving you wrong. I don't know. Can you even at this point fly into Haiti without being eaten? What did I have to... Oh, yeah, and then he picks a fight with Nick Fuentes, and Nick Fuentes said, if you like Haiti so much, why don't you move there?
Fucking go to Haiti. Go to Haiti.
It's such an emotional argument. I'm like, yeah, they're lying about a fake news story. Why don't you just go live there? What a...
Well, the... It wasn't just about the fact check. You've been exposing lines of thought that exist inside of you that are way beyond the fact check. Because the fact checked, I would have granted it to you. You're correct. Trump didn't state the exact truth in the debate, and I came to the same conclusion live. As I was watching the clip of the debate live. You went way beyond. You have exposed very leftist priors that exist inside of you, which to me confirm that basically black genetics are absolutely incompatible with right-wing beliefs. Because in the end, if there was one chance that black genetics had, it was you, Sneeko. You have half of them. You're also a Muslim, so you're trained into a form of social conservatism. If black genetics had a chance at right-wing thought, it was inside of you, and even inside of you, they fail.
What a libtard argument. What a liberal argument. There's a fake news article. You're a nigger. Yeah, they're lying. Shut up. You're getting deported. Try to deport me. What are you going to do? Huh? Come, deport me.
Well, we're not going to deport you, Sneeko. But if you go make your little Haiti documentary, I don't know what would be the title of such a documentary. The victims of Clinton. Whatever. If he makes his IET documentary, we may not even need to deport him. He may just end up dying in Haiti. Hopefully, Sneeko tries to prove us wrong. But yeah, that's all I had to share about this ID. And meanwhile, you know, ask yourself whenever you see a crime, who benefits? You want to know who benefits from all this talk about black people eating cats and dogs? The Asians. The Asians have had the sweetest ride they've ever had. For a whole week, I haven't heard a joke about Chinese buffet containing cat meat or dog meat. For a whole week, I haven't seen scenes of Chinese people killing pets. The Asians are getting it easy, while I think it could be a psyop. I think we are facing an Asian psyop to put the whole consumption of domestic animals onto the black population.
Oh, it's my boy!
Now suddenly Asian people are the best friends of the dog. They don't eat the dog. And there was an Asian account on Twitter that said definitely wouldn't be possible in Springfield, Ohio. You can't even like your dogs anymore in Springfield. TMZ is publishing their debunked stories. John Legend urges Springfield locals to embrace Haitian migrants. Residents rip him to shreds. So here he was trying to say nobody's eating dogs. A diehard Democrat, but the locals are like, no, we have enough. We don't want any more of this. Meanwhile, this is all happening while we are advancing in the project of Polaris Dawn, the space traveling by SpaceX, the first time a commercial non-state agent sent a habitated vessel into space. And you can see on Fast Forward as they do the testing of the suit in absolute vacuum. I've watched it live and it's very slow because you can see him just go up and basically I didn't know that these suits are so rigid. They are so rigid that it's very hard to move his arm, but if you put it on fast forward, you can see the movement that he's doing. So here he's testing his equilibrium. This is a man in space. Absolute vacuum around him. And at the bottom, it's Sarah Gillis, a woman, because I believe the ultimate goal of Polaris is to basically have a black woman at some point in space. But fascinating, Elon Musk has designed a whole vessel that went as far as, well, the furthest that we've been, except the moon, basically, for a human. So fascinating, the furthest that we've been, except the moon, I believe. Rodita Sid says, what? No trans in space? Maybe we could have at some point. I don't know. Does the surgically produced penis, wouldn't it blow up in a low oxygen environment?
This is the hottest thing a guy can do.
I'm not really into nice guys because I look boys, so I can't really think of anything nice that they can do.
My lucky day, hell yeah. I'm just joking. All right, and what's the worst thing a guy can do?
I guess be nice.
Be nice.
Because sometimes if you're too nice, it gives like, it's like the ick.
Really?
You know? Because it's like, why are you so nice?
You like when guys like degrade you type shit? Is that what you like?
Not degrade me, but like, you know. Because I feel like if a guy is nice, that means he gets no girls. And that's like a turn off. You know what I mean?
This is the hottest.